Praise be Jesus and Mary. Well, today's gospel passage from Matthew chapter 16 picks up where the gospel passage for last Sunday left off, namely, just after Peter's confession of faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. And that confession, you recall, was prompted, by an interior movement, from the Heavenly Father himself. And Peter was therefore designated by Jesus at that moment the rock upon which he would build his church. So here Peter was at his very best, his finest, in the Gospels, following through with holy inspirations, divine grace, and holy inspirations. But those moments of glory were short-lived, usually is for Peter. He has his highs and lows kind of constantly, as it were. But after this instance of his confession of faith in Christ and being named rock of the church, he had showed that he still has a long way to go, so as to actually be that rock for others to lean upon, and for the whole church, for that matter. For on this occasion, shortly afterwards, he followed another prompting. This time it came from within, from his self. He passionately rejected, any possibility of Jesus, going to Jerusalem, to lay down his life, to suffer and die at the hands of the Jewish and Roman authorities. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you, is what he said. And to this, Jesus turned and said to him with even greater passion, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." So Jesus, he would not tolerate, even for a moment, any sort of earthbound or worldly way of thinking among his disciples, especially from Peter, who had a special and unique role, in guiding others. The cross was willed by the Father, and Jesus came to do nothing but the Father's will. That was essentially it, Christ's whole mission on earth, to do the will of the Father. On one occasion, Jesus would say, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work," the will of the Father. Absolutely nothing or nobody could step in between or prevent Jesus from heading straight to Jerusalem, to Calvary, to the cross. Not quite so for us. We're a bit different, to say the least. When we're faced with suffering, sacrifice, the cross and its many forms, like Peter, we too are tempted to think too much on the earthly bound, worldly level, too human-like in the way that it is in this present world, fallen and sinful. And we don't think in a way that God does, God-like. We just don't seem to get it, to grasp the divine logic, of the cross, that it really is the supreme proof of God's love for us. Christ crucified, showing us his infinite love, the love of the Father for us. And that's what we should see every time we see the crucifix, the cross, a sign of the supreme love, a proof of God's love for us. And even when we actually, when we embrace, the cross, that it's hard for us to believe that that is our supreme proof of our love for God, we know that we should, that love without sacrifice is not true love, so it's a lesson for all of us. Or perhaps we do get the lesson, but to actually live it and to live it consistently, to carry the cross with love consistently behind our Lord, we kind of drag our feet, to say the least. Like Peter, we still have a long way to go. But if Peter actually, made it and succeeded having died a glorious martyrdom for Christ and for his church, you know, then there's hope for all of us. You know, we can succeed in this as well. You know, Jesus assures us, as he did to St. Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." We need to hear over and over again the injunction of St. Paul heard in today's second reading from Romans chapter 12. "Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect." A renewal of our minds is necessary to think as God does. The cross in our lives is certainly an essential part of God's will for us, of what is good, pleasing, and perfect. You may have never heard this model, but it's a beautiful model of the Carthusian monks. It's in Latin, "Stat crux dum volvitur orbis." The cross is steady while the world is turning. It's a beautiful model. You know, for all of us, the cross is our fixed reference point that keeps us from spinning. You know, as the world's spinning, and we could say spinning out of control, you know, especially nowadays. You know, grabbing hold of the cross, embracing it, and never letting it go will ensure that we never lose our way. It's like a sure anchor, you know, that keeps us from being swept away in this storm-tossed sea that the world is all around us. The cross is the key. It's the only key that will unlock the doors of paradise for us. Now, Cistercian monk, you know, put it well when he said that while the Pharisees gathered about Christ on the cross and filled with their earthbound way of thinking, challenged him blasphemingly, "If you are the Son of God, then come down from the cross." Jesus says to us, "If you are sons and daughters of God, then take up your cross." Let us ask Our Lady to intercede for us with her Son, that we might always, you know, be faithful, corresponding to the conditions that Jesus lays out for all of his true disciples, you know, mentioned in today's gospel. "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Praise be Jesus of Mary.